We're going to be covering the famous incident of Mary and Martha and Martha is preparing the food and petitions Jesus to get Mary to come and help her. And it didn't quite go the way that Martha anticipated it. But I thought first we would cover John's account about Mary and Martha and Lazarus to, you know, a short extent for the purpose of. Kaufman said that other commentators through the centuries have been way overly critical of Martha over this incident. And they have called her worldly minded, unspiritual, and I guess other things. But he said, and all three of the commentators said that those were false, way too harsh of accusations against her. So what I thought we would do is read a few verses about her and see what she does so we can get her mindset in what she ends up saying here. So let's go to John chapter 11. First, we'll read verses 1 through 5. John 11, 1 through 5. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Okay, so we get where they live. This is going to pay here whenever I'm going to look at some passages in John 12. John here gives us the city and and who they are. Luke does not give us the town of Bethany, but tells us who they are. Matthew and Mark leave everything out about these three. And once we get to 12, I think there's a specific passage that Kaufman mentioned this. I got it from him. That said that this is probably pretty telling of why Matthew and Mark left it out. Luke does not give the city that they live in, but John gives it all. So we'll cover that at the end. But anyway, okay, verse 2 of John 11. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And then John will cover that episode in the next chapter 12. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Then when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So he wasn't going to be permanently dead, but he was dying and going to die here temporarily just for the purpose that the Son of Man could raise Lazarus from the dead so that the Messiah could be glorified. And that's exactly what happens. And we'll read about that in chapter 12. Okay, now here's verse 5. This is an important verse here about, is Mary worldly, unrighteous, unspiritual? Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So does that sound like that she is unspiritual, worldly minded? Jesus loves her. No. This is a false characterization. So she is we're about to read here, but she's not unrighteous, unspiritual, worldly-minded. So, and we're about to see what she even says. So let's jump down now to verse 20. And we'll read through 27. So John 11, 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So, just from this right here, she knows that, and she's kind of petitioning a little bit here, somewhat of a request, that she knows that Jesus has the power from God and can raise Lazarus from the dead. Okay, so verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now, listen at how informed she is. 24. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." The Sadducees, which was one of the two major sects of the Jewish nation, they did not believe in this resurrection. Whereas, look at this, Martha does. She realizes and knows there's a resurrection. This is not an unrighteous, worldly person that we're talking about. Then 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may be dead, he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And here is the statement and the verse that Kaufman alluded to as proof that she's not a worldly minded person, but instead very spiritually minded and very informed. So she said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." So here she is stating this and realizes this before Jesus' crucifixion, before any of the Bible was written. She has come to this own belief and understanding on her own. So, and this is before a lot of the, even though Jesus was teaching, but before the apostles really ramped up their evangelism after Jesus' crucifixion, talking about Jesus. So, any questions or comment on this? And this is basically just to point out that this is a false, two harsh accusations against Martha. Okay, now let's go to chapter 12. And we'll start here in verse 1. Then we'll jump down to 9. So John 12, verse 1. "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom Jesus had raised from the dead." Okay, now, so, and also a time frame. Luke's time frame, they're not real clear on these last 10 chapters that we're in from 9 to 19. Not real clear on when all of these happen, except in the last 6 months of his life. So, as far as this Mary and Martha incident, they don't know where this happens, but and in fact, the commentators did not want to comment. But it seems like to me that that incident has already happened by the time Lazarus has died, and by this Passover, definitely by this Passover incident, that had already happened. So I think the Luke's account is before these two accounts here that we're covering here with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Okay, now let's jump down to 9 chapter 12. "Now a great many of the Jews knew that Jesus was there," and this is at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. "And so the great many people came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead." Okay, so they are coming. It was widely known about Jesus raised this Lazarus from the dead, and people wanted to come and see him for themselves. Okay, verse 10. But the chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Well, just as Jesus said before, that was the reason that Lazarus was going to die, and that was the reason why he delayed in his coming, was so the Messiah could be glorified. And that's exactly what happened. Because of this, there were many Jews that would not have believed that he was the Messiah, but now they do because of Lazarus's raising from the dead. And then this also is points to the reasoning that Kaufman says and thought, why Matthew and Mark do not mention anything about Mary, Martha, or Lazarus, even though they mention Bethany and things that happen in Bethany. And his reasoning is from verse 10, the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also. And Lazarus is still alive after they kill Jesus. And so Lazarus lives however long he lived. And Kaufman's thought is he was still alive when Matthew and Mark were written. And so they never mentioned these three siblings to bring attention to them, because those chief priests would have still wanted to execute him. And then Luke gives the account of the three, but doesn't give the town that they're in, just says a certain town. And so he might have still maybe been alive when Luke was there, but they were more freeing. Maybe he was older in age. But by the time John was written, Kaufman's thought is he has died now, so you can give the city, you can give their names, you can give it all. Because he's already dead and they can't kill him. You know, he died the second time, and so they can't put him to death. That was what his thought was off of that. And just to get the context, I'll read verse 12 of when this is, because here the next day is the Sunday that Jesus goes into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, then they took palm branches and went out to meet him. So any questions or comments on this? Let's go, and we'll go ahead and cover Luke chapter 11 and finish this. Luke chapter 10, I mean. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And we'll cover this account with Mary and Martha. And now, Lazarus is not mentioned here at all. It's only Mary and Martha. Okay. But now, this happened before Jesus raised him from the dead. So I feel like he's here, but he's not mentioned. Something else that the commentators feel like a group is here, they feel like the apostles are here also, and they are not mentioned. But this will help us better understand Martha's mindset. Here you have 13 people come in, and that will put anybody under. And see, there was no phone of calling ahead, no telegram, nothing. So here they just show up. And that would put anyone under stress to fix a meal, to be very hospitable. And what Kaufman said, this was the contrast of the two women. That Martha saw Jesus as an honored guest, versus Mary saw Jesus as a master teacher. That's the contrast in the two, and that's how Jesus ends up at the end. Say, well, Mary chose the better, the good part of me being the master teacher, and should have gone with that first before trying to treat me as an honored guest. So we'll just read the context here. Verse 38. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet, and Mary heard his word. So she is treating Jesus as a master teacher, and she's trying to get whatever she can get from him for the short amount of time that she has him, has his undivided attention. And then here's the contrast. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, now this is where, if she wouldn't have asked this, none of this would have happened. I guess it probably, none of this would have been recorded. But this was all precipitated because of Martha's request, and I'm confident that she wishes she'd have kept her mouth shut after the fact. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. So without this command that she is, or request, but it's more like a command, tell her to help me, then Jesus wouldn't have said these next words. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Well, she had many things to do with this probably big crowd of 13 people that have shown up. But one thing is needed. So there were many things she was troubled and worried about, but she has left off that one most important thing, which Mary has chosen. And she has chosen that good part or that good thing which will not be taken away from her. And is that a true statement that this good part that Mary chose will not ever be taken away from her? Here we are 2,000 years later, still talking about it. It wasn't taken away from her then. It's not taken away from her now. Mary is honored for this of choosing to listen to the master teacher and put off the serving until later. And she will be honored, just as Jesus said, she will be honored for this through to the end of time. Any questions or comments on this?
Well, that's kind of a lesson to all of us anyway, yeah. Because we worry about financials.
Yes.
We worry about whatever.
Yes.
And he's saying, don't worry about that.
That's right. That's right. Think of the good part, and you know there are times for these worldly needs is the wrong thing, but basic necessities. There are times for basic necessities. Then there are times for spiritual necessities, and we need to put the priorities in order. Mary did it appropriately. Put the spiritual needs first. Then there would be time. Now it was going to be delayed. Whatever, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours to do these physical needs of this meal preparation and hosting, which Martha, and we can understand, there was a lot of to do, and she wanted to jump on it, but she should have postponed it for the specified amount of time until Jesus was finished with his teaching. But as far as this harsh characterization that is of Martha, that is too harsh. And Jesus did not give this real harsh criticism. He just told her, you're worried and troubled about many things. But the one thing, the spiritual needs, Mary has chosen that, and I'm not going to take that away from her. So I am not going to take her away. She's chosen better. No, I am not going to tell her, leave from what I'm teaching you and you go and help your sister serve. I'm not going to do that because she's chosen the better part. There'll be time for the serving later.
I'm afraid I would be a Martha.
Well.
Yeah, no, all these people come to my house and say,
I know. Well, and, you know, that, and look at what their culture was then. This was the much more like the Hebrew culture, which was very welcoming to guests, honoring guests, serving the guests. Yeah, protecting everything. Well, and just to give us an idea, look at Lot. Here, Lot and Abraham were Hebrews, early on Hebrews. And look at Lot. He wanted to be so hospitable that he was offering his daughters instead of these honored guests of the who ended up being these angels, which I don't know. I don't think he realized that at the time. Just there was honored guests, but he was so hospitable that he wanted to substitute his own personal daughters than these angels that, well, these honored guests that had shown up to his house. That's how hospitable this coming down. So they're a lot more hospitable than our society is today. So anyway, I thought that was worth covering. To see that the harsh criticism is unnecessary, and the commentators wanted to put that across too. So any questions or comments on any of this? If not, then we will start our...